This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
We are all waiting for something. Maybe right now, you're waiting to find out where I'm hiding. Let's see what else we could be waiting for. I'm sorry to the slide, man, but my clicker's not working, so I'm going to have to say next, please. Maybe this Christmas, you're going to be waiting in traffic on Christmas Day, heading to Sydney or to Newcastle to spend time with family. That's always a great wait. Let's see what we have next. Maybe you're waiting for the next season of your favourite show to come out on Netflix. I know this is me most of my life, actually. I watched nearly all of the shows. Let's see what else here. Oh yeah, waiting for a response. I don't know if you've ever been left on red, but Josh Corkill, the guy playing the guitar, will often leave me on red. Josh, are we rehearsing today? Josh, we need to get ready for Christmas Eve. Just, I know you've seen it, Josh, reply to me. What else could we be waiting for? Oh yes, I like this one. This is bacteria for 5 seconds waiting to jump on your food that you dropped on the floor. Because we all know that no germs get on your food within the first 5 seconds. I'm sure there's another one. Oh yes, this is the microwave. Maybe this is definitely not my microwave. I can't remember the last time I saw that many greens. This is much more my style, actually, the next slide. In Japan, there's a tradition that you have KFC on Christmas because that guy obviously looks like Santa Claus. So they jumped on that. So this is KFC is all across Japan as people line up on Christmas Day for their Christmas feast. I was never much interested in traveling to Japan until I found out about this. And of course, we are all waiting to open our presents tomorrow morning. On stage here, there is a big present, a big box. I wonder what's inside. Who knows? You know, for a very, very long time, the world was waiting for their Messiah. For a long time, the people of God were waiting for their promised king. In fact, there's a scripture about it in the Old Testament, a guy called Isaiah, he's a prophet, he's declaring to the people. In a time of turmoil, he says, you know what, things look bad and things look like they're going to get worse. I mean, some of you guys, you know, you're stuffing up left, right and center. We see that nations want to take us over. We see war right on our doorstep. But don't worry, because something's coming. Because it is true that we are all waiting. In fact, I might want to read a scripture, Josh. But for this, we need some scripture music. Could I have a big round of applause for Josh Corkill really quick? He's going to help me today. So that a million of you don't ask, I had a jet ski accident. Some of you are waiting to find out what the go was. I'm just waiting for this arm to heal. We're all waiting for something. A very common Christmas scripture. Didn't think this through. Isaiah 9, 5, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace.
You can imagine at the time when Jesus was about to be born. Israel had been taken over by Rome. You can imagine the distress of the people just before this Messiah was born. And you can imagine a Jewish priest standing up in his synagogue and all the people in his congregation, it would seem, are worried about the state of the world. They're looking out their door and there's Roman soldiers pretty much oppressing them, taxing them like you wouldn't believe. And a Jewish priest might open the scroll of Isaiah and say to the people, as their world seems to be on fire, don't worry, because Isaiah gave us a promise, and the promise was that for unto us a child will be born. A son will be given, the government will be on his shoulders. You don't have to worry about Rome, and he will be called
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful.
It's like a cry of the people. Everything is a mess. They don't even own their own land. And they're crying out, remembering this promise, waiting for their king. I want to teach you something about, even in Israel right now, they're still waiting for this Messiah. Some people still haven't recognized him. You know, there's a temple in Israel, and it looks something like this. This is a very simple drawing that I came up with. I didn't actually come up with it. I Googled it. What do you think, Josh?
I love it.
You love it. You can see the temple. You have the big wall around the outside. And then once you walk in that, you're in the outer court of the temple. If you go a little bit further, you get to be in the inner court. Outer court, yeah, you got in. Inner court, you're a little bit more special. But then in that little box, in this box that they've constructed, they have the Holy of Holies. And the Israelites, the Jewish people, believe that God is in the Holy of Holies. In fact, to get into the Holy of Holies, you can only go in there once. One person gets to go in there once a year. And it's such a special place that they'll actually tie a rope around their leg so that if they walk into the Holy Holies, and on that slight chance they have a heart attack, they can actually pull them out by the rope so no one else has to go in to get them. So this is the state of what people were believing. They believe that God's in this room. He's just out of reach. And the sad part is, for the Jewish people of the world in the 21st century, the Jewish people of today, they don't even control their temple, so they're not allowed anywhere near their Holy of Holies. In fact, there's a wall called the Wailing Wall, and I got to visit it 2 years ago. And that is me in the kippah with the circle around. And this is as close as the Jewish people can get to the Holy of Holies. This is as close to Jewish people can get to where they believe God is. And so they get to this wall, this wailing wall, and it's called the Wailing Wall because they're crying out, and they'll rest their forehead against the wailing wall, and they'll block out all distractions, and they'll pray to God, God, send your Messiah. Because even to this day, in this day and age, they are still waiting. Because they believe when the Messiah comes, he'll reunite them with their temple and reunite them with the Holy of Holies. Maybe there'll be a war in the Middle East and they'll take back their temple with force. Maybe all the oppression and wars in the Middle East will stop when their Messiah comes. They're still waiting. And to this day, old Jewish men will sit and they'll face east. And I got my compass out. And east is in about this direction, I hope. If anyone wants to correct me, they can. I feel like that's something you would know, Nathan Seal. Sounds about right, yeah. And they'll sit and they'll wait, because one of the prophecies said that this Messiah will come from the east. And they'll sit and they'll wait. And they'll sit and they'll wait. And as you walk through Jerusalem, you want to go up to these old Jewish men and you want to shake them and say, he's already come, because they're still waiting. I don't know what you in this room are waiting for. Maybe there's things that hold you back from seeing that the Messiah's come already. Maybe there's things, the doors that you don't want to walk through. Maybe the world looks so bad. How could it be possible that this Prince of Peace has already come? Maybe you're like me, you're injured, or maybe you're injured worse, and you're thinking, I'm just waiting for my healing. I'm waiting for things to be made right. Or maybe you're waiting for the day to come that a particular political party comes into power that can fix all the problems. Maybe you're sitting and you're facing east and you're waiting for a saviour. But the good news of Christmas is this. When Jesus was born, these words were said in Matthew 1, 22 to 23. It was said, all these things came to pass because it was said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and... Josh, my PowerPoint didn't translate well to these screens.
That doesn't fit nicely.
That doesn't fit nicely. Basically, it says the virgin will conceive and give birth to a child and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. These Jewish people and the Jewish people at the time, they were waiting for a Messiah, and this Messiah was meant to come and be powerful and be like and lord over everyone and fight back and give them back their temple and do with this sort of stuff. But what they didn't realize is that he was actually going to come as a baby, born of a virgin, and he'd be called Emmanuel, God with us. And it looked, the scene looked something a bit like this. This was their king, this was their Messiah. And you can see why it might be easy to miss. A woman and a man in a cave with animals and some shepherds. And I'm sure Pastor Will, if you heard his sermon on last Sunday talking about this very scene, it could have been a very graphic, gruesome, terrible smelling, terrible thing. But this is where their Messiah came. It's sort of special. And they called him Emmanuel, God with us. Because although we want to put God in a box, God doesn't want to be in a box. And as much as we can press our heads against a wall and just hope for the Messiah to come, hope for salvation, hope for a savior, hope for whatever we're waiting for, God says, no, I'm coming as a baby. And in this moment, God was no longer in the box. God came to be with us. It's almost like he's as close as our fingertips. We wrote a quick song, which I want to teach you. And the lyrics are, first line, Josh.
Do you want me to sing it or say it?
What do the people want? Sing!
Oh, wow.
You're not far away.
You're not far away. Come on, come on.
You're not far away. You're closer than my fingertips. You're not far away. Emmanuel.
You're not far away, you're closer than my fingertips. A line I stole off Will Small again. Thank you, Will, for that beautiful line that God is as close as our fingertips. You're not far away, Emmanuel, God with us. I was hoping, Josh, that you could sing that a few times for us so that we can remember that God is here.
You're not far away. You're closer than my fingertips. You're not far away. Emmanuel.
I'd love to share a poem with you. My Christmas poem. and I hope it blesses you and connects with you. Born is my King and born is my Savior, who looks past my behavior and heals my failure, who keeps me calm, protects me from danger, this Messiah who lay in a manger. Do you hear what I hear? It's that time of year. Christmas cheer, ginger beer, and don't forget the reindeer. But Christmas must be more than that. More than Santa hats and presents wrapped, because there's always a reason for the season that gives it some meaning and possibly even something to believe in. Because if it's all in vain, then why would we care? It'd just be a waste of money and reason to pull out your hair every time the carols start, because there's pressure on your family when there's pressure on your bank card. And all the while we put on a smile, we push through and do what we do, because Christmas represents a deeper truth. Because born is my King and born is my Savior, who looks past my behavior and heals my failure, who keeps me calm, protects me from danger, this Messiah who lay in a manger. So what's your story? Maybe your house is full of family. Maybe that's a good thing, or maybe you have trouble handling that one crazy uncle who at the table never seems to be able to keep his mouth shut. Or maybe your family's a long way away. Maybe to you, Christmas is just another day. Because this Christmas, you might feel alone, a long way from home, on your own. Well, let me tell you this. My King's always present. And not the kind of present that's under the tree, no, the kind of present that's always holding me. Present all the time, every time that I need. Because He sets the lonely in families, and I'm here to say, if you're hearing me speak, you have family in this room today. Now there's madness in the mayhem, but it's time to silence Scrooge. We're gonna take those gremlins and tame them and have our hope renewed. Cause there's a Grinch who tries to steal and he'll take what he can, but there's a gift he can't steal if you receive it, friend. So let me tell you about this gift. He was born in a barn, a miracle child who laid his head calm. And the shepherds, they came to worship the one whom the angels called God's Son. And through this baby, the whole world, He saved them. It didn't matter your situation or the home you were raised in, the community you were placed in, the problems that you're facing, they were your problems, He faced them. He was born in a manger and died on a tree, a gift from the Father to humanity. And through it all, we were set free. And I'll praise God forever for how He healed me. Because born is my King and born is my Savior, who keeps me calm, protects me from danger. Who keeps me calm and protects me from danger. Who gives me hope. This Messiah who lay in a manger. What are we waiting for? It seems the world is hopeless. But even today I saw the most amazing thing on my way home. Me and Josh had a rehearsal and I drove home. And it would seem that our country is literally ablaze. And so many people are sacrificing their time, and people have even passed away in fighting these awful fires. And as I drove home and I turned down my street, all of a sudden I saw heaps of children running around in the middle of the road. And I thought, what's going on here? And it was just a few houses up, there was a fire truck covered in tinsel with a Santa in the passenger seat. And I thought, how amazing it is it, in a time when our country's on fire and our firefighters are doing so much and sacrificing everything they are, that they can still, local fireys who are staying back to look after our homes, can find time to cover their trucks in tinsel, dress up as Santa and make the children of our country happy. I don't know if that blows your mind, but to me, I think there's some hope here. My family lives in Queensland, a long way away. It's a 19-hour drive. I have done it in one hit. Probably wasn't wise, but you know, bad things happen to unwise people, and I'm learning my lessons as I go. And so every Christmas, generally I'm usually on the coast, and because I'm in the ministry, Christmas is pretty much our busiest day of the year. And so I haven't gone home to spend time with my family. But every single year that I've been on the coast, I've found family in my church to spend it with. And I'm so honoured that every Christmas, my 3 years here at this church, I've gone to spend it with one of our pastors, Will Small, who's like a brother to me. How amazing is it that although my family is so far away, in a church setting, I can find family. I get to the privilege of being the youth pastor here. And it's so amazing. As I said, so many of us can put our heads against the wall and hope for a saviour, not realising that he's already with us. But the moment that someone turns their face away from the wall and realises that God's not distant, he's not in some box, he's not trapped inside of four walls, when someone turns their face away from the wall and realises that God is with them and has their life transformed, that brings so much joy to my spirit, and I know that God is real in those moments. And I think about times in our youth ministry this year when I've been able to give out Bibles to people who have come up and said, can I please have a Bible? I don't have one of these at home. Or I think about people who have had their lives transformed and been baptized and come up new. Completely transformed. And all of us have that opportunity that we can turn away from this wall. We can realize that God is not in a box. I wanted to do something special with the box, but all I want to do is say, God says he's no longer in a box. There's no box. He's with us, he's here. He was born in a cave. He died, he rose again. He gives us life, hope, freedom. The government will be on his shoulders. I know you're angry at the government because I have Facebook. Guess what? God's in control. I know sometimes you don't feel at peace. All the decisions in life you have to make, how do I raise my family? I know nothing about that. I'm a single man who lives in a studio apartment. I eat microwave meals and watch Netflix. So I'm sure you have more stress in your life than I do. But I'm sure there's turmoil. This God is the Prince of Peace. Maybe you feel like you just need someone to talk to. The world's a mess and it is. He's a wonderful counselor. Maybe you feel weak, or you look at the world and you say there's people who are put in positions of oppression. Even in our own country, there's people who are put in positions of oppression. Well, he's a mighty God. I've seen that move. I get the privilege of going to Coast Shelter on Wednesday nights. And I tell you what, when we did our Christmas carols at Coast Shelter last Wednesday night, they almost sang louder than this room did a moment ago. Because even in the darkest places, there can be hope. He is present with us. He's Emmanuel. And all I want to do now is take a time to remember that before Christmas comes and before there's wrapping paper flying everywhere and before we sit down with family lunches with that one crazy uncle. If you don't know who the crazy uncle is, or you don't know who the crazy person at your table is, it could be you. So that could be a thing. Before all that happens, I want to take a moment to actually stop and reflect and close our eyes and remember that this Christmas, God gave the gift of his son. He's present with us. Right now in this moment, he is closer than your fingertips. He's with you in the turmoil, in the struggle, in the stress, in the fire. He is with us. So I just want to take the time to stop, reflect. Feel free to close your eyes. Listen to the soothing sounds of Josh Corkill. He is with us.
Closer than my fingertips, you're not far away. fingertips, you're not far away. You make your way. You make your way.
You're not far away.
You're not far away. You're closer than my fingertips. You're not far away. You make your way. You're not far away. You're closer than my fingertips. You're not far away.
Is with us. Oh, this front row, so many young people down in this front row. Thank you for showing me in a world of darkness all of the hope. Especially you, Josh Kay. And especially all of you. Baptizing you was a great privilege, Josh Kay. And it reminds me that no matter the... Just hanging out with you on the jet ski. Don't tell your mum I broke my hand on a jet ski. She won't let you come with me anymore. Oh, thank you, my friends, Carolyn, Michael, Madigan and Carolyn O'Meara. Thank you for coming and being part of this. It's part of your church a very long time ago. And the fact that you would come to watch me preach on a Christmas Eve at 9 p.m. means a lot and reminds me that family and church is, it's far bigger than the name of our church. It doesn't matter if we're Narara Valley Baptist or the church down the road, we're all one church. And thank you so much for being here tonight, reminding me of that. It reminds me that there's hope when there's so much disunity in the world. Thank you for the hope of unity. Thank you for being here. Lincoln, thanks for making that great kids video. We played it last year. It was just too good not to play again. You're very talented, Lincoln. You could change the world with those videos. My goodness, you could change the whole world, Lincoln. Yeah, Lincoln. Georgia, your singing gives me hope more than anything else in the world. Will, Sam, the boys, thank you for inviting me to your house for Christmas again. Thank you that this year you'll have to cut my pork for me. Josh, thank you for being a brother in ministry and being up here and letting me pick on you while I do a sermon on one of the important church calendar days. I put on a nice iron shirt for the first time because Josh always tells me I should iron my shirts. So it's Christmas Eve. Matt Kelly's giving me a clap for that. That's, wow. Thank you, Matt Kelly. My love language is affirmation, so thank you. I don't need a gift from you. You know what, church? If you this Christmas are feeling lost or lonely, or you are feeling like there's just all too much going on, or you scroll through your Facebook feed and you think, oh no, the world, oh no, our government, oh no, everything, you know, don't worry, there's a gift and you can accept him into your heart. And he'll transform your life. He'll give you hope. Sometimes you just have to sit and remember, he's not far away. You just have to turn your face away from the wall and realize he's already with you, closer than your fingertips.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.